I have not seen it, honestly. It's, I feel like this is my summer to catch up on all the summer classics. Like, I do love watching a lot of movies, but I feel like I haven't gone back down the classic movies or movies like this that you guys have recommended over and over and over again. Like, this is it. Summer 2022, it's happening. I promise. I pinky promise. I want to take us on a little side quest.
Goku's one of the greatest anime heroes of all time. He's badass. He's awesome.
Dude, hands down, Final Fantasy VII wins every day.
How could you not love the Mario Brothers movie?
RoboCop kicks everyone else's ass.
And that's why Superman sucks.
Oh, the Velociraptors kick ass in Jurassic Park every single day.
Yep, went on a bit of a rant there, huh?
Oh, welcome back, everybody, to the SideQuest Podcast. This is Eric. I am not drinking White Claws this time or whatever the fuck it was, so I'm back. I'm sure last time you're like, what happened to him? He just turned into a complete mess during the episode, and you're right. You would be 100% accurate. Went straight to my head. So drink responsibly out there, folks. But anyways, we got a great episode for you tonight. It's summertime. It's like June 24th. Summer's in full swing. We're getting ready. We're getting excited. And
It's
oh my God, it's fucking hot. It's like up in the high 90s in Chicago with just warm wind and heat. So ACs are
burning constantly,
cranking.
And it's only June.
I know.
It's only June. What's July and August going to bring?
Fucking a million degrees, I think. Or the sun's just tipping its hat towards us like this.
Yeah, I got a quick side quest before we even hop into the first main quest.
Yeah, let's go.
So this, you know, as summer is, we're always busy. We're doing stuff. We're going out. We're whatever. We have our niece this week, and she just turned 9, and she's, you know, full of energy. So anyway, I told her I'll take off Thursday, and we can go do something together. And she decided to do Raging Waves, which is the new largest water park in Illinois. I don't know if you've heard about it.
I think I have.
But, you know, I and then I started thinking, like, when was the last time I was at a water park? I think it was in Disney with her 3 years ago.
Oh, my God.
So I remember we always used to go to these things. You know, I know Six Flags has them and all that, and then we haven't. It'd be a bitch getting all of you to come to a water park these days, but I'm kind of pumped up about it.
Yeah.
We got a cabana. We got a little fridge with water and beer in it. Like, I'm like, all right, because, you know.
Yeah.
She's going to try to drown me the entire time, so.
Well, there you go.
I'm sorry, where is the side quest in here? Or are
well,
you
the
just...
side quest is, it's just about water parks in general, because I don't, outside of me going 3 years ago, Eric, I know we used to do that one at the end of the summer every year.
God, there was like, younger. I don't even remember the names. There was like Deep River Water Park, something waves. I don't think it was Raging Waves. I think there was another waves. Like, that's all they use over here is like something waves. But yeah, I just remember like a cooler full of ice cubes and like a Diet Coke and like a bologna and cheese sandwich just soaking in the water. No cabanas, no waters or beers. So that sounds like a good time. I mean,
Justin, were you ever into water parks?
I mean, yeah, for the most part. I mean, it's water. It's
Lazy
Jeff
River,
Pisces, so it's all about the water. But do you guys remember Indiana Beach?
Beach.
Oh God, is that I feel like I do.
It was in Indiana.
It had fireworks nearby. I know that.
Santa's Village was also. I think they had a water park there as well.
They have a small one. Yes.
Yeah, I remember, I mean, I always enjoyed them. I loved going down the slides and doing, like, the Lazy River was always a fun one. But, yeah, how can I just mess up my whole body going as fast as I can down, like, a slide that's indoors or something? Just, like...
And just tear your back up and there's just a trail of blood coming down because you hit a rivet.
Ooh, yeah, lose all your Band-Aids on the way down. Oh, just the memories. So fun. but yeah, no, that's a good quick side quest, and it's gonna cool us off here because we gotta talk about some hot top summer 3 movies as our first main quest of the day. So this is how it's gonna work, boys. We've done it this way before, but for our listeners out there, we're just gonna go around one at a time and start with number 3, work our way down to number 1, and just talk about, you know, what is our top 3 movies for summer. And this can go any which way. It's totally subjective, no rules, just when you think of summer, what movies are you watching? What do you get excited to watch? So honestly, it could be like, I don't know, Les Miserables or some like a Vita or some shit. Maybe that's your summer jam. I don't care. Have fun. You could watch the Santa Claus in July. Go for it. So what I want to do, let's kind of start in an order and we'll just keep it the whole way. We'll start with Jeff on number three, work our way to Justin, then me.
Oh, we got to start with three first. See, three is the hard one. Two and one is easy. Yeah. You know, for three, I would say like, I don't know, it'd be tied between, Ferris Bueller's Day Off and National Lampoon Vacation, the original one, the first one where they go to Wally World for the summer.
Okay. I like both of those. I mean, I feel like Vacation has a good, fun place in my heart. I just love those movies through and through.
Well, yeah, they're always great. And I don't know, they always seem like a great summer movie.
Yeah.
So I'd probably go with Vacation now that I've thought about it. I mean, I love Ferris Bueller's Day Off. It's more of the end of the beginning of summer more so, because he is taking a day off of school and it's kind of in the summertime in the Chicagoland area, but I'd probably go with Vacation.
Nice. All right, Justin, how about you?
Yeah, I'm gonna go Jeff, those are great picks. I recently just watched Vacation like last week again. It holds up. It's such a great movie. Okay. I'm gonna go a little bit different route. It's a movie that admittedly I haven't seen in a few summers, but it focuses on a college graduate working at a local amusement park for the summer as he's trying to find himself. A little bit about the cast: we got Jesse Eisenberg, Kristen Stewart, and Ryan Reynolds. Adventureland.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You guys seen the middle portion of that movie?
It's such a, I don't know. It's,
I don't
just
know,
like,
why.
It's a cool movie, and like the thought of like just working at like a theme park for the summer as you graduate college is just kind of like, and then it came out like right as I was graduating college and not too far off from you guys as well, but it's just kind of like, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah,
that's a good one. I remember watching it when it came out, but I only watched it once. I don't know why I never went back to it, because it is a fun, enjoyable movie and I like the actors in it. So why I never got back to it, I don't know. Maybe I'll check it out this summer.
Okay.
I like that. Well, my number three, I feel like my three, you guys are going to feel like I'm cheating, but honestly, these are my top three. I've said it before and probably, you know, this is episode 140. So folks, go back through our entire catalog. You'll have fun. But my number three is Independence Day. It's just, you know, it's not 4th of July yet. It's getting there. We're a couple weeks away, but it doesn't matter. Honestly, it's just, for me, it's like a summertime vibe. It's a fun action blockbuster with a mix of comedy and heart and a little bit of spookiness from the aliens. But I just feel like this is one of those, you know, for me, one of my go-to summer blockbuster movies. It's just, it has a lot of everything. It really is a great, I enjoy the story. I feel like I wish they would have expanded upon it and not made it such a shit show for the second one, which I only watched 15 minutes of. So I'm sorry if you like it, but Damn. Will Smith, he's canceled. But yeah, I don't know. I just like that movie. It just kind of kicks off summer for me.
Oh, I'm not going to say much just because it may or may not appear on my list.
Okay. All right, Jeff, you're up. Number two, what you got?
So the number two film would have to be Jaws. Yeah, definitely gonna watch that at some point this summer.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a movie that revolves around summer.
Yeah, it's, I mean, that's like when you Google summer, I'm pretty sure Jaws is one of the pictures in Google Images. Like, it just, it's synonymous. It's definitely synonymous. And I just, you got to go back. If nobody's ever either A, watched it, you have to watch it. You got to go in with the mindset that this is like the 70s and no one's ever like seen a shark eat a person on camera. So
no, it scared people from going to beaches.
Yes.
Even like my mom said when they were younger and they watched it, people wouldn't go in Lake Michigan.
Yes, they were scared. Yeah, they had no fucking clue where sharks even live. They're just like, oh, fuck that. And two, like how cool the animatronics were, like just a testament to Steven Spielberg, how they got that shark to work. And if you watch behind the scenes, that like, I think they had two or three sharks because they continue to break down because they're bringing like an electronic beast into a body of water and it kept fucking up. But it was just cool to see how realistic it looks and scary it looks for back then.
The side quest real quick, because this is more towards Justin, but in Jaws, when you watch the documentaries and stuff about it, Spielberg hated the shark because it just kept breaking. And it actually made that they were going to show the shark more, but because it kept breaking, they had to show less of it, which in turn made the movie better and made the shark more terrifying that when you did see it. It was kind of like a happy mistake. But I know there's other movies that's happened where they thought this was going to happen, but then it didn't, or something broke, or a scene got lost, and actually made the movie better. Because I think Jaws is better because you don't see the shark that much until the very end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, you make a great point. And there's like, if you look at like a lot of horror movies that exist, if you, anything from Wes Craven's like Last House on the Left to, you know, even Nightmare on Elm Street, the original, they don't jam it down your throat, minus the spaghetti arm scene in the alley with Freddy Krueger. But yeah, I'm with you, man.
Yeah. Well, just like Star Wars, when the stormtrooper knocked his head on the door opening up, that made it 10 times better. I definitely agree. Justin, number two.
Number two is a movie. I love this movie. It's a summer movie through and through, but we're going to go down the horror route. I made Jeff watch this a couple years ago. I don't think, Eric, you've probably not seen it, but Sleepaway Camp. I love this movie. It's one of the scariest, one of the most unpredictable, and one of the most, in my opinion, debatable slasher films to come out of the 80s. And I've argued with the director of this movie about the theory that there's multiple killers, and he just kind of told me to fuck off.
Yeah. I have not seen it, honestly. I feel like this is my summer to catch up on all the summer classics. Like, I do love watching a lot of movies, but I feel like I haven't gone back down the classic movies or movies like this that you guys have recommended over and over and over again. Like, this is it. Summer 2022, it's happening. I promise. Pinky promise.
I own like 2 to 3 copies of this movie on DVD, so I can just borrow.
Oh yeah, I like that. Remember when people did that? Like, hey, you can borrow my VHS or my game or my CD. Like, gosh, it's so true. Like, I could honestly just drive a couple minutes and pick it up from you and not have to worry about going and finding it and renting it.
Why don't we should throw a movie night and watch, knock out some great classic summer movies?
I'm
good with that.
I like that. We should do it, Jeff, in the backyard with the projector around the bonfire. Let's do it. All right, we just made plans. All right, we got to go, guys. That's it. We're done. We just made plans. No, I like that. Number two for me, it's a little movie that a lot of people enjoyed. I enjoyed it very much. Some people call it Camp Heavyweights. I just like to call it Heavyweights, and that's the actual title of the movie. Mm-hmm. But Heavyweights, it's summer camp. It's summertime. School is out. It's such a funny, silly, goofy movie. This is honestly, this might be one of Ben Stiller's top 5 roles of all time. You can't beat him as Tony Perkis. It just helps set him up. I know he's been an actor before this movie came out, but for me, I feel like that was almost one of the first movies I remember him in, because this movie came out in 95 and I was what, like 8 years old. You guys were 10. Like, this is one of the first movies I remember seeing Ben Stiller in, and it was such a great introduction. And the cast, the crew, like everybody in that movie is just so memorable. So I really enjoy coming back to this each summer and just having a fun time and, you know, talking about the buddy system and,
buddy,
it's so good. But yeah, Heavyweights is definitely number two for me. You can't beat it. Well, you can with number one, but you know, it's number two.
Jail God.
Jeff, all right. Number one. Where are we at? What do we got?
Yeah, this one's pretty easy because it always pops. I think I probably watch it twice every summer. One, I do it knowingly. The other time, it just somehow pops on and finds its way. But it's a classic, but Back to the Future. Just, I have to watch it.
Ooh.
Summer. I don't know. It's just a great the epitome of the 80s.
Yeah. Quick little plug to Back in Time Pod, right, Justin?
Yeah, little plug there.
Yeah, we just plugged in part 3 in our archives there, and we had a great conversation about part. Honestly, I think the third movie, the first movie is obviously the best. The second movie is okay. The third movie really holds up. So the whole trilogy is just like fantastic, and you can go into our archives and we talk to almost everybody that's been involved in that trilogy. So yes.
Oh, that's awesome. So good. Good pick. Justin, what about you? Number one.
You know, it's another one of Jeff's favorite movies. When you think about summer, you think about Dave Bennett and bonfires, and you got to get the Hurricane Pizza Parlor Massacre. No, no, I'm joking. It's not that. But seriously though, Eric, you mentioned it. Independence Day is a movie that I watch every single summer, if only before going to Fleeing Machine's 4th of July party. I pop it in and listen to the presidential speech. I stand the entire time. I salute. I grab a drink, and then we rock on.
Love that. Yep. It's a great. I can't say enough good things about it. So many good one-liners. Such a good time for a movie like that to come out. And that was kind of, you know, I'm not going to say the first, but that kind of really kicked off the chain of the, what are we calling them? Disaster films? Like, you know, kind of epic scale disaster films. I mean, me personally, besides maybe, what, War of the Worlds in 1950 or whatever the fuck it was, like, what other big disaster movies really came out before then that were, let's say, memorable and maybe have, like...
Twister, Dante's Peak.
Oh, I think those came out after.
No, Twister was 95. Dante's Peak, I think, was 97. But, okay. So you're right. We're half right.
Okay.
What's the difference?
Yeah. I mean, global disaster. So they kind of touched that space. But you're right. There was a lot of good disaster flicks in that realm, but independent.
Roland Emmerich made it. He just imprinted himself on society with that.
Oh yeah. He kicked it up a notch way big time. So thank you, Roland.
Oh yeah.
You're like M. Night, stop making him now. We're good. Like, I don't know if he can strike lightning again. I don't know if he even had another good like disaster movie after that. Like, what was it, 2012 or something? That was dog shit.
Well, he did Moonfall, which I didn't see.
Oh, I didn't see it either. I was tempted, but then he did Independence Day, the second one. So he's just,
yeah, he's cashing paychecks.
It's been, yeah, good for you. But he did The Patriot in 2000 with Mel Gibson. So fuck yeah, dude. Oh, and he did Godzilla. Okay, so you had a good 4 years. 96 with the, to 2000.
He did the Broderick Godzilla?
Yes.
Yes. With that great soundtrack.
Yep. Shout out to Puff Daddy at the time. Now, whatever the fuck his name is. P or PP or something like that. Who knows? So, all right.
Lay it down, Eric. Give us your number one.
Yeah, my number one is The Sandlot. And it's just, it's such, I mean, I've said it all for every single movie so far, but this movie just... It takes me back to being young and like at the time when this movie came out, like it still felt like that was my life. You know, even though this movie took place in what, the 70s or something like that, or maybe even before then, the 50s or 60s, 1962, even in the 90s, it didn't feel that far off. Like riding your bike around to the playground or going to the ballpark and playing with your friends. And there really wasn't technology then. Not much, at least. So just The Sandlot, watching it as a kid growing up, it just really struck a different chord. It came out in 93. So I was like, what, 6, 7 years old. And just watching it, it kind of just brings me back to the, you know, the easier summers of growing up and not really having responsibilities and your parents took care of you and all that fun stuff before you became an adult and life just, you know, gets exciting in a lot of other ways. But not so much, but,
what is this rant even going to?
Oh, but what I wanted to say is that Darth Vader's in it, so that's another reason why. But no, honestly, it just brings back really good memories, and it's like a feel-good film in the nostalgia heart chord strings.
Yep. You're right, and just a total side note, Darth Vader's dad is in Sleepaway Camp.
Oh!
I'm dead serious. His father is George Earl Jones, or George Jones, whatever, doesn't matter. He's... James's dad is in that movie, and it's really funny because they sound very similar.
Yeah. Oh my god, so good. So good. Well, I got to take us on a little side quest because that was a fun little top three from us. We want to know you guys out there. What are some of your top threes? Hit us up at SideQuestPod. But, you know, I have a little bit of, let's say, a concern with maybe summer movies nowadays. Maybe it's because of the age I am, or maybe it's just because they're not hitting as good as they did when you were younger. But do you guys feel like summer movies are making an impact on you anymore? Like, are there any recent good summertime movies that kind of, you know, there's a reason they weren't in your top three, right? Like, nobody ever said, hey, the latest Spider-Man's my top three.
Same thing when we were talking about it.
You know? Like,
summer movies now is what badass Marvel movies coming out.
Yeah.
I mean, and yeah, the new Thor movie.
Right.
Like we did with Doctor, we'll all probably be there opening up. And that I'm really excited about because I loved Ragnarok. It's my favorite Marvel movie thus far.
Right.
But I don't know if I would ever like put a Marvel movie with summertime. Like, yeah, they're great.
Right.
But that's all summer movies are. It's either Marvel and then whatever, you know, weird, like maybe a Harry Potter or a Jurassic Park or something.
Yeah, another franchise movie coming out. That's about it.
Yeah, and, you know, Star Wars, they tend to release around the holidays. So it's basically whatever, like, two Marvel movies are coming out. That's what I think of summer now.
Yeah.
In terms of movies. I know there's a lot of great games that come out in the summer. And stuff like that, but I don't really identify the summers with movie blockbusters anymore. But they don't make anything else besides Marvel. I mean,
right.
They don't really, and everything else they do make either is so niche-y or too wokey or something like that. Then you're just like, no, they don't. Like, you're never gonna get a Back to the Future or Jaws again. They just won't make it.
Yeah, do the wokey pokey. I like where you're going with that. Like, I do feel like there's no more original summer movies that really strike a chord. You know, all the top three we just named are classics in their own right, and I think a lot of people out there might share the same feeling, but, like, you know, Midsummer, is that really like a summer movie? Like, yeah, it was unique and creepy and cool, but that's not like, I don't know. To me, there's not too many original summertime movies anymore. They just follow this weird path of just, like you said, Jeff, like, this formula of what are they going to go see, right? It's like, it's got to be like good looking people hanging out, one's getting naked, and then like a killer comes or something, or like some very basic kind of almost like Disney-like formula to them. Like, I want to see some more original summer movies.
You know what?
I don't think we're going to get that anymore. I mean, the closest thing we could get, Stranger Things this summer is hit a very summer chord. It's about the only time I've felt something that related to summer in a long time. Mm. And by the way, this past season has been just phenomenal.
Oh, for sure. Justin,
it's
what
been
were
like
you?
Some of the best television I've seen in a long time. I don't know. They are really kicking out of the park.
Yeah, I need to catch up on all those. I've only ever seen season one. Season two was a snore for me.
It was.
And I gave up.
Yeah, but three and four just really crank up and really crank the 80s up. And Justin, you being such a fan of the 80s, I can't believe.
Yeah, you'll love it.
Yeah. I know I got to. Just two quick things. Like, I feel stupid for not mentioning the movie The Lost Boys when we were talking about summer classics.
Because
that's kind of,
you know,
it's so good. And it's just like the jazz saxophone guy on the beach with his muscles.
Yeah.
And it's just everything about just where they are is just like screams California summer. With vampires, which is really cool. So I feel stupid for not mentioning it. But the other thing that I want to bring up really quick too is what Top Gun Maverick did for what I'm hoping is to break the mold of this franchise bullshit tentpole thing that we've been dealing with for the past like easily 10 years.
Yeah.
I don't know. Did either of you guys see that movie?
I heard it's great. It's all practical effects. There's no like CGI. Like
oh my gosh, the story is great. Go ahead, Eric.
I was just going to say, I saw it 2 days from now yesterday, so I'm excited to go see it, but I did just see it yesterday when you guys listen to this, so we're going to see it.
I won't say much. It's just, you know, it takes in every great way what the first movie established and then creates its own personality in the second movie, where you can watch Maverick and hate Top Gun, and you can watch Top Gun and hate Maverick, but apparently nobody hates either. Okay. So it's
well,
like
you want to know why, though, and I that movie is hitting so hard as it is because Tom Cruise is pretty much, didn't he like fund most of the movie, and he's like the head producer, like he's
he knows,
but well, he also has the care, and he gets it. He's not a boardroom of a bunch of dickheads in Hollywood that are just following some weird, you know, whatever Twitter saying. That's how, literally, I think that's how Hollywood's run now, is they just look at like Twitter feeds and be like, yep, that's what that's what people want. It's like, no, you dumbass. And I think that the only way Maverick could have been made the way it is now is because of the care that Tom Cruise put into it. And he had nobody, you know, changing his direction or making, you know, the movie more corporate or following some weird data trail on Twitter or whatever. He just had free reign over it.
Well, yeah. And it's also because he, you know, follows like some meteor into the galaxy every day with the Scientology, right?
Just enjoy the movie.
Yeah, he saluted. There's that video of him saluting. Who's the guy? Who's the science fiction?
Oh, L. Ron Hubbard. He got
and he salutes it. I mean,
he got some award for being the best. Yeah, the best human on the planet award or some shit. But Justin, I interrupted you.
Not, but he definitely understands like what makes a good movie.
Oh yeah, I love all his movies. I watch every Mission Impossible movies. Yeah, so good. So good. Well. What about, Jeff, we were talking about this not long ago, but what the hell happened to Lightyear or Buzz Lightyear, whatever the fuck that movie was? Like, I wasn't lining up to see it, but, you know, when we talk about summer movies, that's kind of what I mean, right? Like, these, like, no one's making good summer movies,
well,
and no one wants to see it.
Lightyear is a unique failure, because I think there's three main things that happened with it. The first and the most prominent and the most vocal I heard other people is they just wouldn't use Tim Allen's voice. I understand they were trying to move it away from Toy Story, but it doesn't. The toy would have the same voice as the movie that it's portraying would have. So by not using Tim Allen's voice, and I constantly see, like, when you Google Lightyear and stuff, that the director of it has to keep defending why they didn't have Tim Allen. So it seems not having Tim Allen in such an iconic role is a huge issue.
Well, yeah.
The second is the marketing for it was non-existent and it didn't make sense. I don't think a lot of people understood that, oh, this is based off of Andy's toy. They didn't really explain that at all. The other thing is Disney Plus, the past Pixar movies, I think the past, what, two or three, Soul and Red, was just put on Disney Plus right away. And I think a lot of people are like, no, that's, yeah, we want that.
Yeah.
Well, and it shows that I think a lot of people are going to the theater only for these big, huge budget things at this point. And it's got to be a Maverick or a Star Wars or a Marvel for you to go to the theater. Outside of what do we see? Doctor Strange? What was the last movie you guys saw at the theater?
Well, it's going to be Top Gun, but yeah
but that's, that. No, what, that's not a big super blockbuster thing like that.
Yeah. Spider-Man?
Yeah.
I mean, you're right.
Yeah, nothing, right. Right.
Yeah, I mean, that's. I think that's why Lightyear is not doing well. And I heard, like, they sideline Lightyear, and it's more of these other characters that take a front line, which what I thought the movie's about Buzz Lightyear, but then it turns out most of the movie it isn't. So I think there's a lot of issues with
it. Well, and yeah, the biggest thing that I think Disney forgot, and I don't think any of the listeners are of this age, but kids are fucking stupid, right? Like, they're young, and they don't get it. So what they tried to do is that this Lightyear movie is the actual guy that then inspired the toy Buzz Lightyear that is in the movie Toy Story. But kids going into that, they're just like, ooh, Buzz Lightyear. And like you said, Jeff, it's not Tim Allen's voice. Who is this guy? What does this have to do with anything? Why is he a real human? So it was probably really confusing to kids going to see Lightyear that it had nothing really to do with Toy Story at all. Like, I mean, that's why. Like, how do you explain this movie? I was confused just saying it now, and I think I passed some tests growing up. You know. So, anyways, and
yeah, rant. I think this just goes back to what movies are going to be made now for that big blockbuster thing. I just saw someone just texted me this right now while we're talking. This is a SideQuest podcast exclusive. I guess there's now rumors of Kevin Feige wanting to do a whole Dragon Ball Z franchise.
Oops. That's an oopsie. That's a quick oopsie fuck.
So this franchise will sustain Disney for the next 15 years. And I get it. I mean, it is the biggest, most popular anime in the world. It makes sense. Disney would make a shit ton of money. But right. Those are the properties they're going after.
Yeah.
Marvel's going to get stale soon. So they're starting to look at what's another big, huge franchise. Obviously, Dragon Ball Z would be huge for them if they could do it right. But, you know, it's Kevin Feige. He did Marvel right. So, yeah. But that's what they're going to make. And I think the smaller, weirder stuff just needs to go to streaming.
Yeah.
Stop trying to go to the theater.
I agree, 100%. All right, well, let's move on to a brand new segment. Jeff is going to sing this one out for us. On this day in movie or gaming or TV history, I think we got it, right?
You just did the jingle there.
Yeah, I was just showing you the way.
We're testing out some new segments, and the ones we like, we'll do some cool jingles too, and the ones we don't, we'll pitch them.
Yeah,
well, let us know.
Let us know. Hit us up. Give us a like. But in 1981, on June 24th, For Your Eyes Only came out, the 12th Bond film. So that's exciting. I mean, this is how many years ago? God, like 40-something years ago. So, I mean, I haven't gone back and watched a lot of these movies in a while. I've been sticking more towards the Pierce Brosnan and the Daniel Craig. But I feel like at some point I need to go back and pay some respects and show some respects to all the, you know, the original James Bond guys. I just maybe felt like it was a little bit too old and my dad liked them. So maybe I didn't like them. I don't know. Some little ting angst going on there. But I don't know. Have you guys ever gone back and kind of watched some of those classic Bond movies?
None.
Have you seen any of them, like Connery or anything?
So my dad loves James Bond and stuff, but I don't know, nothing. I never get I really want to watch James Bond.
Yeah.
Like normally when I get an itch for a movie, it's going to be like, oh, here we go again, Lord of the Rings trilogy or just,
right.
Or Back to the Future or Jaws or something. You know, I just never really get a Bond itch.
Yeah,
if that makes
that's
sense.
Fair.
I mean, yeah, they're fine.
That's fair. I mean, they're just such from like a different era, Justin. I don't know if you ever went back and watched those old ones. I just feel like they're so corny, but they're kind of cool at the same time. But I have to imagine, like, put yourself back in 1981 and watching James Bond. Like, ooh, how cool am I?
Well, here's the thing, Money Pushy.
Ooh.
There's a lot. We've got Sean Connery on the line. We've gone back and watched a lot of like the first probably four or five at least Connery movies, and for me it's like I really respect the time that they came out and like him as a young actor and like the period and like the fact that there's a character called Money Pussy. It's like all of these things that Daniel Craig couldn't hold a candle to that they were just doing back then in the 60s. It's like, what the fuck? Why not? I don't know. I'm not saying that they're good, and I'm with Jeff. I'm not saying that like I got an itch to be like, I need to watch a Bond movie tonight. I would sooner watch a Fast and the Furious movie.
Yeah.
But they're still...
That, I don't think I go that far, but...
well, I mean, they're still...
Yeah. At the very least, I would watch like a Brosnan or Daniel Craig one if I had to.
I like Roger Moore and Sean Connery. I like the old...
Yeah, I'm with
the
Jeff.
Ones that were set in the 60s and 70s, which was that time period of the spy.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like the 60s and 70s was, I don't know. And then
it's just cool.
It's just iconic to
sophisticated. It's the reason why we like Mad Men. It's the same thing. I think.
Yeah. Very true. Very true. And the other movie that came out on this day, we had to give it a shout out because our good and close friend to the podcast, John Depps, he was in this movie back in 2006, which is, 16 years ago already? Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man's Chest, the second movie in the grand franchise of all things pirates. I feel like we saw all these in theaters for sure. These were like kind of opening weekends, big things going on there.
Eric, we saw this movie together at the drive-in, and you made a giant pitcher of hard lemonade. And
I feel like was that the same one? I feel like you just said that like three episodes ago. I thought it was a different movie back then.
It was that one, because at the end is when they bring back what's his face from the first movie?
Oh, Orlando Blooms.
No. The
Oh, Beardy.
Who was the first pirate? Who was the first bad guy of the Black Pearl?
Jeffrey Rush.
Oh, yeah.
I'll never forget that. We went with, that was Tyler and Debs and all. And you were so excited you made this mix. And
sounds about right.
The mix was way too strong.
Well, to get through a movie like that, you got to make it strong. It was.
I love Doug Manchess. I love Davy Jones. I love Bill Nighy, who plays Davy Jones.
Yeah.
Phenomenal actor. Everything he's in is just awesome. Even if the movie sucks, he makes it better. I mean, he's such an iconic character. Just like Johnny Depp, he's an actor who can do different characters and things. So
yeah. Quick side quest: what's the over under on him coming back and playing Captain Jack Sparrow now that all this little side court bullshit has subsided? You have to imagine Disney's on the hunt.
$300 million are true, then I'd take the money.
Oh fuck yeah! I mean,
but Johnny Depp always wanted to give him a farewell, which he hasn't, because you know Disney took what this psycho bitch said in a newspaper and fired him. And now he has been proven that he didn't do any of that stuff. And now they're like, oh, well, you know, Disney with the tail between their legs.
Yeah, they did the same thing with Gunn, though.
Yeah, James Gunn.
Yeah. You know, Disney really doesn't like, it's annoying. They don't like to follow any facts or anything. They watch what Twitter says.
Yeah. I'm visualizing, Jeff, what you're saying is like, there's literally, they pay, it's a 24-hour job where they rotate, 12 hours a shift, and it's literally a meter that goes green and red, and as soon as it's like Johnny Depp and it goes into the right side with green and ding, 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 they press a button, and then it's like, okay, let's make a contract, $300 million, the people want it. Like, they only listen to people.
Yeah, no, you're actually not too far off from what they actually do with social monitoring and... like that's the thing,
and like this, and now
I forget what it was, but like you can read interviews of people that do that, and they're like, I sit on the computer and watch Instagram photos of people masturbating and killing animals all day, and then they flag it, and they're just like, okay, inappropriate, and like they're at least from a few years ago, like that was a manual job that people had to do.
That NC-17 Instagram.
I'd love to see Johnny. I think Johnny Depp right now is a huge hot commodity, and whatever his next movie is going to be huge, solely based because it's his movie since this whole shit show. So everyone's going to want to go see it regardless, unless it looks, you know, unless it's some weird indie thing. But yeah. I think he gets the pick of anything at the moment, and Disney would be stupid to not want to try to get him back, even though he said he wouldn't, by just being like, all right, listen, here's $300 million. Because they know if they did one more Pirates, especially all that after happened, they make a fortune. Because let me tell you, if we knew it was his last time portraying Jack Sparrow, I'm sitting my butt in that movie theater the day of.
Yeah, and or it could
and they
be.
They know that. They're not dumb.
Or he could play Dr. Doolittle in the sequel to the Robert Downey Jr. one.
Probably do better.
That fucking mess. Oh, my God.
Oh, jeez.
What a goof. All right, well, let's...
Man, Iron Man and go do Dr. Doodle. Wait, what?
Yeah. And him promoting that was like, oh, yeah, so I did this little thing. He just, like, you could tell...
directed it or something. And,
you could tell in interviews he just wasn't having it. But anyways, let's move on to our next main quest of the day. We're keeping with the summer theme, of course, this whole episode, so crack open a nice little Truly lemonade if you're of age. Not me, though, because we know what happened last time. I want to know, gentlemen, what are some of your favorite types of games to play in the summer? I feel like this might just be me. I'm sure I'm not alone, but I'm like a seasonal game player. I like playing different games in the winter than the spring, than the summer. I mean, there's some people that will literally sit there and play the same game all year round. And for me, that's Rocket League, but that's more of like, I would say a side game as opposed to a main game. But I want to know from you guys, like, what are some of your go-to video games you like to play, types of games? Don't even have to name drop, just like multiplayer, first-person shooters, whatever the fuck you want. But Justin, let's start with you. What are some of your favorites, favorite types of games you like to play?
At first, I thought you were talking about like Ghost in the Graveyard, and I was like, hell yeah.
Oh, well, that too. Why not? Throw that in there as a little bonus.
I think that Rockstar has like nailed some of like some great summer classic games from GTA to Bully. I just always find like the summer heat is a good time to just like annihilate people and shoot and shotgun and just destroy anybody and everything that fucks with you. So I like that. The other one that really comes to mind is this. I'll probably be in my own right here, but like wrestling video games. Like I used to love like the wrestling video games used to come out in the summer. And it was like a great kickoff, you know, leading up to like SummerSlam and WrestleMania and all of those great events. And then they'd release these games and you'd be able to create your own wrestler. And, you know, here comes Justin running down to like fight Hulk Hogan. And it's like so much fun. So,
yeah. All good options right there. Jeff, what about you?
Yeah, so I definitely agree with you, Eric, that, you know, different times of the year calls for different types of gaming, but especially during the summer. I mean, I normally play like MMOs, like you guys know, I talk about that. World of Warcraft and Final Fantasy Online and Elder Scrolls Online and all that. But in the summer, I take a break from those because A, I just don't have as much time. We're always out and about. You know, you'd rather be outside than inside.
Right.
And secondly, I feel like Nintendo's that perfect console for the summer, especially the Switch now because it's portable. And I always love just picking up a great, upbeat, colorful JRPG. And JRPG is just, it's RPG, but it's Japanese. It's a Japanese RPG. That's the only difference. Justin, I know you used to play JRPGs quite a bit. But right now I just picked up Dragon Quest XI, which the guy who, Akira Toyama, who makes Dragon Ball Z, it's his game franchise. So it's got very just upbeat, colorful. And you could just pop it on and turn it off, and it'll last me probably through the whole summer. Just love a good, upbeat, you know, JRPG, and just playing Nintendo games. They're easy, they're colorful, it just feels like the perfect summer console.
Yeah, great picks. For me, I definitely like to go, at least for starters, the Nintendo route, like, you know, like Mario Golf Super Rush I've been playing lately, just to kind of get in that summer mode and playing some golf outside, so it kind of goes with the theme. Breath of the Wild, I mean, I booted that back up, not, you know, I haven't played in probably like at least a year. I played it a lot when I bought it and got through most of it. And then I just like, I mean, those types of games where you just get to explore and wander. Yeah, I mean, it could be any system, like open world, just like, I mean, I've even been tempted just to like reload Grand Theft Auto 5 and just fuck around and like drive my car.
Hell yeah.
You know?
the online one I heard is.
Yeah, like online. So like games like that, what else was on my list? Oh, shout out to my cousin Dan, because every time we get together in the summer, we try to play Crazy Taxi on the Sega Dreamcast. That thing's still kicking. Like games like that, just fun, upbeat.
But not your other Sega system, that something happened to that.
Oh yeah, the one that was just sold without my knowledge, and it was just, you know, they just thought it was going to disappear. My parents sold my Sega Saturn without my knowledge. And it was a very, very bad day. I was very sad. I had like 40 games for it, too. God damn it. So if you're listening, Dad, you ruined my life. No, I'm just kidding. But no, there's a lot of fun games out there. I was even tempted recently. I picked it up, but I haven't played it lately. But like just rebooting Mario 64. Now that it's on the Switch, but I also have an N64, so I could play it on there, too. But just kind of playing those old school like games I grew up with are always fun to kind of go back to. So take it old school, take it open world, take it any which way. That's the way to do it. Damn. But what I really want to get to is a new segment called The Worst of the Worst. You know, on this podcast, we like to talk a lot about, you know, gaming, movies, geek stuff. But there's sometimes, you know, that we just want to call out some of the worst things. And this is in the realm of gaming, right? So what we want to talk about tonight is the worst of the worst of the N64 games. And the first one that came to mind, and the one that I wanted to kick this thing off with, is Paperboy 64. Have you guys played this game, like, growing up at all? Did you ever rent it or own it?
No, I heard about it when it came out, because I love the original Nintendo Paperboy, but I don't think I played Paperboy 64.
Well, don't.
You're on your own here, Eric.
It's terrible. So it's a 3D version where you're going around neighborhoods, and I think there's about four or five neighborhoods. It's like the worst controls. You're on the 64 controller trying to be in an open world game. There's stuff running around all the blocks. If you don't hit things directly, like on the porch or through a window, or you don't kill all the bugs that are flying around, you lose. And the game is timed, and you only get like 15 newspapers to make all this shit happen. It was like probably my first... maybe one of the first, besides probably like Super Mario growing up, but I don't think I had rage in me yet at that age. Probably the first rage quit of my life happened with Paperboy 64, because it was just so fucking hard. So I recommend and urge that you go out and watch some of this Paperboy 64 on YouTube and just get a load of what the hell that game is. It's the weirdest graphics. It doesn't make sense. Everything is like a different shape. You know, you think the curb's going to be a square and it's like a triangle. It's just so confusing. The controls suck. So worst of the worst 64 game, that's my nominee. You know, in the upcoming weeks, if you guys like this type of segment, you know, we'll go into movies, into TV, into other stuff. But that's my nominee right there. So let's see if it can be beat in the next few upcoming weeks. But I urge you two to go out there and just look at videos and watch and, just don't spend more than 5 or 10 minutes, because it's not worth your time. So shout out to that pile of shit. And thanks for getting me all, you know, the blood is boiling inside me. All right, boys. That is all we have for our summer episode. Thanks so much for joining us. What are your top three movies of summer? Do summer movies just suck now? What are some of your recent favorites, if you even have any? Talk to us about some of your favorite things in history, whether it's gaming, movies, and of course, what do you like to play in the summertime? Hit us up at SideQuestPod, all things SideQuestPod. Google us, follow us, like us, send us to your family and friends. And boys, there's got to be some fun ways to end it. How shall we?
Well, we can do that scene where Jaws actually roars in the movie. I don't know if you remember that, when he comes up on the boat.
And, okay. How about...
I can do the roar, and you guys can do the screaming while he's getting eaten. And
all right. I'll be Captain Jack Sparrow getting eaten, and I've got... what's his name? Ian Malcolm from Independence Day, even though I forgot. Oh, David, whatever. It's Justin. So we're just sitting there ready to get eaten.
Okay, the boat's sitting there, and then oh, here comes Jaws.
Oh, boy. Oh, my. Has all the rooms gone. Oh, boy. That was the worst. I got to nominate that as the worst ending ever. We completely botched it. Well, thanks, everybody, for joining us. Hit us up at SideQuestPod. Give us hate for the ending. And we will see you next time. Enjoy those freeze pops.